Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival director, Monty Yazzie, who is putting on this year's festival. This year is 15 years. This is incredible to me, but it's so much variety of independent gumption. And the fact that you guys keep showcasing better and better films every year just warms my heart. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you so much, Summer. I really appreciate you having me on. I love you guys. You guys are great. And I would spend the rest of my night chatting with you about all things genre, Summer, I promise.
Well, we'll see how far we can get down the rabbit hole then. So is there anything special for the 15th year of this festival that is going on, or are you just showcasing another collection of really a wide variety of storytelling approaches?
You know, every year we seem to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And last year we moved from a 7-day festival to a 10-day festival, got our feet wet with that. And now this year we're working again with 10 days and a second weekend that's designated just for horror and sci-fi, and some more programming slots. And, you know, every year it seems to be a little bit more challenging, but you can't grow without challenge. So we take it as best as we can and move forward with it and try to showcase all the best possible films that we can get. And I think we have a really fun, diverse lineup again this year, and our competition films are equally as fun and diverse.
Now, is there a screenplay competition this year as well?
There is a screenplay competition as well. We have one every year. I believe that the winner has already been picked and will be announced, I think, at the festival as well, too. So.
Cool. So what kind of responses have you been getting now that this is your second year of going to a 10-day schedule? What sort of increases in submissions and fan responses have you been seeing?
You know, every year we seem to find a new blend of filmmakers and directors who are out there trying to do something different. But surprisingly, we also get a lot of return folks. And I think, for me at least, the highest compliment that we can get from a filmmaker is for them to submit another film to us. And we've seen a lot of familiar faces in our submissions. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to make those choices and unfortunately break some hearts when we're talking about, you know, bringing filmmakers into the mix for our competition. But it's been a great year to kind of feel out those wonderful filmmakers again and to talk with them again and to have them provide their movie to our festival and give us another chance to showcase their wonderful stuff. And I think that, you know, for me at least, that always says that, you know, we're doing something right if they're gonna submit another film to us. And that's always a great feeling.
Nice. So this year, do you have any debuts, any premier sci-fi or horror films you'd like to talk about?
We do. We have a world premiere from a movie from the Dread Company, the Dread label. That's Dread Central's filmmaking division.
Right.
But Dread has been nice enough to give us the world premiere of a movie called They're Inside. It's a first-person home invasion film, but there's a nice little twist to it, and I think it's going to be a really fun movie for our audience to watch. They do such a great job there at Dread, and you know, I'm always really excited to kind of be involved with a company that is doing something different. And Dread has such a unique variety of films that are on the market right now. I think that they're one of the most innovative distributors out there, filmmaking companies out there. They do such great work, and we were very excited that we were able to get a few films from them this year to showcase. So There Inside is our world premiere that we're playing as well, too, and they've also given us a couple of other films underneath their belt as well, too. So we have a lot of Arizona premieres, as we do every year, but There Inside is definitely our world premiere this year.
How are the documentaries shaping up? I know every year you get some that talk about different things, but I think this year you've got one that goes into horror films, I think?
Yeah, Survival of the Film Freaks is a documentary that we have this year. It is a really passionate, heartwarming documentary about why we as horror and sci-fi film fans love what we love. And it takes a look at kind of the cult classics and the cult status of these movies and why they're so passionate, why they're so well loved. And I think when we're talking about horror and sci-fi, and you know, there's a lot of stereotypes that are out there. I've waxed a lot this week about Instagram taking the hashtag horror and kind of giving it this stereotype. And while I am all for people looking for help and looking for ways to find a connection with somebody to get help, I also think that, you know, that there's a little bit of that is a stereotype, and we're trying to change that. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, what we're fostering with the community out there is a group of passionate film fans. And I have been a horror fan and a science fiction fan my entire life. And I have had, you know, of course you're going to have bad interactions with people, but I could say confidently that 95% of the interactions I've had with horror and sci-fi film fans have been extremely positive. And, you know, when you get a movie called Survival of the Film Freaks, and they're talking about these cult classic films and trying to get those, get this idea out there of why we love the movies that we love so much, you know, I'm all for that. And I think they do such a great job with that. So that's one of the docs that we're really excited about.
Yeah, me attending a couple of horror-themed conventions, both for literary and just, you know, the genre in general, they're some of the most laid-back, easygoing, and in some cases, hardest-drinking people I've ever met. And it's like, yep, the stereotype is just not warranted for the people creating the horror movies. Can't say so much about other people who get obsessive, but we're talking about the creators here. So have you seen any submissions that made it into the festival that were experimental, either in storytelling or how the film was made? Because I heard that there's a feature film out there now that was filmed entirely on an iPhone, and I'm still mind blown about that.
Yeah, that's every year we get stories from filmmakers, and I'm sure when the filmmakers for our horror and sci-fi competitions are here in town, we'll probably find out some wonderful ideas as to how they put their movies together. Because oftentimes we get the movie, but we don't necessarily know their process, like how they made these movies come to life. So it's always really fun to go to the festival and chat with these filmmakers about how they did what they did. And sometimes, like, I'm surprised. I remember a few years ago, there was this movie that had this great, like, follow shot. And I thought they had this really, like, sophisticated rig that they were using and these, you know, really sophisticated equipment that they were using to get this beautiful follow shot that they had. And it wasn't. They were using a car that moved to a wheelbarrow that moved to, like a dolly rig. And the fact that they were able to do something so smooth and so professional with things that weren't professional is, to me, it's just, I mean, that's like the true innovation of filmmaking for me. There is one movie that comes to mind when I think about that question, and it's a movie called One Cut of the Dead. It's not one of our competition films, but it's one of our showcase films. One Cut of the Dead is a zombie movie, and it's a zombie behind-the-scenes filmmaking movie. And as soon as I say zombie movie, I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, another zombie movie? Oh, so tired of zombie movies. And I say the same thing as the festival programmer. But I watched this movie late last year in San Diego, California, at the Asian Film Festival, and I absolutely fell in love with it. It's just one of those movies that reiterates that even though, you know, we are dealing with subject matter that may be familiar, maybe overly familiar to many people, there are still filmmakers out there who are going to put their spin on it. And this movie does just that. It takes that concept of a zombie film, but kind of spins it on its head and makes it this different kind of narrative. And I don't want to give away too much because it is a really fun film and it's really great to watch as an audience. And I hope that we get some folks out here who will come and watch that with us, with a nice big crowd, because it does get some great laughs and it is very ingenious.
Nice. So are any of the showcase films accompanied by Q&A sessions? Like, how many filmmakers do you have coming to the festival to share their filmmaking thoughts with the attendees?
Typically, a majority of our competition film filmmakers, so for our horror and sci-fi or competition filmmakers, we'll have a majority of them that will be there. I can't say exactly how many that we have coming this year, but every year we seem to get representation from all of the movies. So there's a prime opportunity to have a Q&A after every one of their films, which is a very, very unique approach that we can have with our festival, that we're able to offer that immediate back and forth with film fans.
Nice. So what if you had to select, say, two different movies for someone to see because they have limited time, they can maybe only get to one or two screenings, which are the ones that made the most impact on you that you would, without reservation, recommend to people?
I would recommend A24 has been a great support for us over the past few years, and they have a movie called In Fabric that we're playing on our second weekend on Friday night. And In Fabric is directed by Peter Strickland. He did a movie called Barbarian Sound Studio a few years ago, and he returns again with a story about a haunted dress. And what nice. Can get simpler than a story about a haunted dress, right? But what Peter Strickland does with this movie is so innovative. It's so captivating. He captures so many different emotions and captures so many different ideas of what horror and haunted films are. It's really a wonderful film to watch. And I think that, for me, is going to be one of our festival highlights this year. And I would also say, I'm going to split it up. I know you said two, but Survival of the Film Freaks is a great documentary. I think everybody should take a moment to watch that one. It's a really, really well-done documentary. Let's see, one more. I Trapped the Devil. That's what we're going to go with. I Trapped the Devil is a movie we got from IFC. This year, IFC Midnight gave us I Trapped the Devil. And I go back to my love for Twilight Zone. I grew up a Twilight Zone kid, and there's a great movie called The Howling Man. It's a story about a man who walks into this gigantic castle, and the monks that are living in the place
yes.
tell them that the man that is screaming is actually the devil himself. And this movie, The Howling Man, kind of takes that same theme and runs with it at Christmas time as well, too. So a holiday horror film. So I love my holiday horror films, and I love throwback Twilight Zone. And this one does a great job with that.
I remember that episode of Twilight Zone. That was stunning when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And if this film takes that concept and runs with it, all the more interesting and terror. Just watching people take a story and then squeeze more out of it than you actually thought was in the story is appealing to me. That's a highlight of independent filmmaking, and the way you guys have supported it with this festival every year, going above and beyond with all of the just trying to showcase as much as possible for people who might not actually get to see these films. I mean, it's easier to see more films now that, you know, distributing over the internet, but still, there's something to be said for seeing these on a big screen in a dark theater.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and the theater experience is something that will be unrivaled. I don't care how big your televisions get in your home or how great you say your computer is for watching movies. Watching a movie in a gigantic theater with a group of people who love horror films as well too, or love science fiction films, you can't beat that quality experience. And that is the reason why I think theatrical is so important. And I'm not downing people who watch it the other way either, but for me, I always get the most satisfaction out of watching something on the big screen.
Are there any other special events at this year's festival?
We have a great amount of education that we do every year. We have our Kids Day again. Our entire second weekend is dedicated just to horror and sci-fi. So in the evenings, you will have two theaters that will be playing numerous horror films throughout the evening. Parties, We like to say we have Arizona's biggest happy hour out here as well, too. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity. I tell people, anybody who has never been to a film festival, this festival is a good place to start. If you've been to 1,000 festivals, this is a great place to maybe see something that you might not see at other big ones. People who are just interested in the filmmaking process, this is a great opportunity. We focus on making our festival specific for the directors. We want to share their visions, and we want to curate to or cater our festival to them, towards the creators of these movies. And yeah, I think there are many other festivals where you can watch, you know, all the big screen stars of the movies up there talking about it. But, you know, we really focus in here at the Phoenix Film Festival and the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival on the directors and the people who are creating these movies. And I think you can get some keen observations as to how a film is made and why a film was made and what are the influences by having the director up there to talk to you about it.
Yes, same thing with the short films. Are you guys showcasing some standout shorts this year?
Oh, man, our shorts are always a lot of fun. And that's one thing, you know, I tell people, I like to keep a little something secret for myself because, you know, being so involved with the film festival, I grew up with this festival. This is the festival that I first went to, and this is the festival that I first experienced. So, you know, being in my hometown, I still like to keep something special that I can experience at the festival. And the one thing I do is I have a great programming team. I have two fantastic horror programmers and one really, really good science fiction programmer. And they do the competition and the shorts. The shorts is the one that I stay blind on because I trust these guys. They've been doing it for a long time, and they always do an amazing program. But the shorts is where I keep my eyes blind so that when I go to the festival, I can actually sit in the audience and watch the shorts with everybody else for the first time. And that's how I keep – that's the one thing I keep myself separated from and really just trust the programmers that we have within horror and sci-fi so that I can – still have that experience and still keep that special thing that makes me a lifelong IHSFF fan. I keep that a secret for myself. So I'll be experiencing it with everybody else at the festival. So that's something I really look forward to.
Nice, nice. And I've found over the years that the people who are the fans of the work that they are involved in, whether they're putting together science fiction film festivals, science fiction conventions, making a movie, making a TV show. If they're fans of the genre, of the material, you can see that love come through in the end result. And that just makes things better for all of us, I think.
Oh, I completely agree. That is a great observation. I completely agree with that.
So thank you from, you know, my independent film loving heart for continuing to make this one of the best film festivals out there.
Thank you so much, Summer. I appreciate your support, and it's always a pleasure talking to you every year. We need to do this more often. We can't wait until festival time to do this conversation. So let's try to do this again after the festival's over, and maybe another time before the festival happens again.
I will make a plan of that.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
I told that devil to take you back.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
And that is the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival, which runs in conjunction with the Phoenix Film Festival, April 4th through April 14th, at the Scottsdale 101 Theater, which is off, I think, Mayo Boulevard in Scottsdale, Arizona. So get your tickets now and go have some fun. Still trying to see if we can get some of the filmmakers involved in this year's festival on here for a chat about their projects, but we're still working out details. In any case, time to answer a question. Ray asks if we know what happened to the audio drama series Children of the Gods. And I did some searching, Ray. Sorry. I can't find out any more than you did. I found the website. I found it's still, the episodes are still there for download. But there's no information on the website about whether they were put permanently on hiatus, whether they decided to change the direction of the story and go with a different story. There's nothing. It just stops dead right, I think it's after chapter 11. If I remember correctly from what I searched, they stopped at chapter 11. Chapter 12 was supposed to go into production. And like you said, 2012, it just went radio silent. So if anyone out there knows where Christopher Mack is and can ask him directly, we have people who want to know. Also, Ray, if you're interested, I think another story from back around that time was called Leviathan Chronicles, or maybe just Leviathan. I think there's a link to it on the Children of the Gods website. And I also remember another story. I think it was a thriller or a mystery called The Silk Code. I think that was the name of it. If anyone wants if anyone wants me to dig up more information on that, just let me know. I'll go do it. But Ray, if you are a fan of science fiction in short story form, I am going to recommend a few other podcasts. Starship Sofa, part of the District of Wonders series of shows, is a fantastic podcast. I'm sure some of you have heard the promo for it that I've played here now and again. Full disclosure, I have narrated stories for Starship Sofa. The other science fiction story, short story podcast is Escape Pod, which was started almost as long ago as Slice of Sci-Fi is. And full disclosure, I do some audio producing for them, as well as I think I narrated some stuff a long time ago for them, but I'm having fun getting to listen to all these stories as I work on them for their podcast. The place to go is escapepod.org for Escape Pod, and starshipsofa.com is where you can find that one. They have a wonderful, wonderful collection of old stories, classic stories, and you can buzz through a lot of short stories during those long drives of yours, Ray. So enjoy. If you like horror, Tales to Terrify, Drabblecast, those are fun too. A few announcements. Yes, the horror and sci-fi contests are still running on the website. If you want to join in the fun, go to the contact page on sliceofscifi.com, fill it out, select have a different question, and in the message box, if you're interested in the science fiction flavored prizes, type in Elf Shot the Food. If you're interested in the horror flavored prizes, type in We're Gonna Need a Bigger Boat. When you type in the phrase of your choice, a secret section should just magically appear with a list of prizes that are available. Pick one or two and hit send. And make sure, please, please, please make sure that you use a valid email address. Otherwise, I can't get in contact with you to send you your prize. And as a bonus for everyone who's listening, there will be a contest starting Monday around noon, giving away a copy of Bumblebee, the 4K UHD version. So that's going to be a tasty treat for everyone. Keep your eye out on that. Not sure if I'm going to do that this way or just throw it open with the raffle and Twitter pronouncements, but keep your eye open. Starting Monday afternoon, you will see a way to win yourself a copy of Bumblebee 4K UHD. And as always, if you have any other questions or comments, please feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or like Ray did, use the contact form on the website. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through Google Play, TuneIn, and Player FM. And if you would be so kind as to leave us a review on iTunes or on Stitcher, let other people know you are enjoying the show and they should check it out for themselves to be entertained. Are you not entertained? I hope so. If you're not, let me know. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. Yes, I do get into geeky conversations on Twitter because I like the format that Twitter allows me to chat with people in. You can follow us on Facebook and on YouTube. We are Slice of Sci-Fi over there. On YouTube, you can check out the reviews by Noah and Darren, the video reviews they have done for a lot of the movies that have come out recently, plus our favorite LA nerd soul, that's Lael Kidd. He has gotten to some red carpet events and recorded the fun for us, so check out our YouTube page at Slice of Sci-Fi over on YouTube. And of course, we have the website here, which is the base camp for all of this fun stuff, sliceofscifi.com. Check it out. Respond to the reviews. Ask your questions about any of the interviews we've done here. And keep that geeky conversation going. I'd also like to thank everyone for your pledges through Patreon. Patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Your donations, pledges, contributions do go to keep everything here online. If a monthly pledge is not in the budget, please consider using a PayPal donation every now and then. PayPal.me/sci-fi summer is the place to go if you want to do that. And again, thank you all for helping keep things going around here. I'd also like to send a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music for this show. They really went above and beyond, and I love them all dearly for that. If you want to check out more geek rock by these guys, go to their website, sci-fried.com, or search for Sci-Fried on YouTube. You will not be disappointed. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.